I want to speak to Annie, who is available to speak to us. Annie Yalloway, who is a Norther, Annie Yalloway Palma, and it's an interesting claim that indeed Annie has. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning, Frank.
Yeah, you have a really interesting claim about the first black woman in Ulster. Who do you believe the first black woman in Ulster was?
Clearly me.
You believe you were? I was trying to figure out whether it was you or your mom or who was it. So, you know...
My mother was white.
So you were the first black woman in Ulster, but that sounds so recent. Surely we can't remember the first black female in Ulster, but you claim to be that person.
I claim to be that person, Frank, that's right. I was born in 1962, and the whole of the time that I grew up there, I was there for over 20 years, and there was no other black, you know, people around at that particular time.
So tell me about your heritage then, your mom and your dad.
My mother was from, she's born and bred in Portadown, County Armagh. And my father was from Nigeria.
And for you growing up in Northern Ireland, was it difficult? Like, did people look at you when you walked down the street, considering you were the only person who was black?
They sure did. As I said, we were brought up behind the barricades of Portadown.
Because I'm trying to, you know, visualize. You've grown up at the same time that I've grown up at, because we are basically the same age. And you know, when I cast an eye towards the town that I grew up in, which was close to Warren Point, I was in a little place called Burren. There were no black people in Burren. I never saw any black people in Warren Point. And then I transfer to Newry, which is a bit bigger. I can't ever remember seeing a black person in Newry. And this begins to fall into place, because when the soldiers came here and we occasionally saw a black soldier, people actually did look towards the soldier because he seemed to be, to us, different from everyone else. Isn't that sad that's the way we've grown up?
It's very, very sad, Frank. Very sad indeed. And part of the my mission really is to wake people up. Racism is the same, you know, it's similar to sectarianism. So growing up, I grew up with both of those things. And, I'm not a natural bigot. Bigotry is learned behavior.
And you've written this book, For the Love of a Mother, The Black Children of Ulster. This is what you're trying to address in it? You're trying to address racism locally here?
Yes. Yeah. Basically, it's the story of my life and, you know, growing up with my five brothers. And as I said, in Portadown, at the height of the Troubles. And, people would know, there's a lot of books around, political books around, but there are not very many books around that tell of just, you know, the local individual's life. Basically, I give you an insight into what happens, you know, in the mind of a child when they're watching all of that violence and sectarianism.
So you're saying the violence and the sectarianism, but are you suffering as a black person? Are you suffering?
What do you mean? Am I suffering now?
No, are you suffering? When you were a child, there was the violence which was aimed, you know, at Protestants or Catholics. There was white against white. But was your small black family suffering? Were you being targeted or were you being ignored?
I would say both, actually. But we grew up in a Protestant community. So we would have grown up with the UDF, the UDA, marching right outside my front door. So I grew up with all of those people in the same street. And we would have had racist comments every single... I don't remember a day in my life without a racist comment from somebody on the street, and that would have been people from my own family, people from the British Army, people from I call the paramilitaries in my book the Mafia. And the reason I call them the Mafia is because I'm not politically minded, so I don't want to go in. It's not a political book. I don't want to go into details about, you know, who they are or whatever. I just want to let people know the effects of what they do and say in front of children. This is, you know, these are some of the long-term effects.
And do you think families from minority backgrounds today could benefit from reading this? Because we've, you know, we're blessed in our schools at the moment with children from so many diverse ethnic backgrounds. Some communities still don't have any, but those communities, in my opinion, those communities who have a diverse mix of influences will grow up to be better, stronger, more rounded people. Do you think those who would be blazing a trail for other minorities maybe could benefit from reading what you've written?
I don't. It's not just for ethnic minorities. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. I think the state of affairs in Northern Ireland since I was a child, I never believed that I would ever see peace in my life in Northern Ireland. When I came here, you know, I thought after the Good Friday Agreement that, you know, peace was something that was going to happen. But if you don't love yourself, you can't embrace other people. And that's what's happening. I mean, I heard you talk a little while ago, and I've actually read up on some of the recent news reports about disturbances, you know, around the province. And that's very disheartening, very sickening to know that in this day and age, that people have gone back to their old ways. And my take on that is that when the British government knocked together the two heads of the politicians in Northern Ireland, basically, that if it was as easy as just knocking people's heads together and telling them to, you know, integrate and, you know, get on with telling your communities, you know, leading your communities and stuff. If it was that easy, people would have done it. There wouldn't have been, you know, the troubles or the war, as I call it, the civil war, if it was that easy. But what I think is missing is that nobody had thought of, you know, putting in anti-bigotry programs, for instance. If you hate somebody because of their color or you hate somebody because they're Catholic or Protestant, you can't just knock somebody's head together and say, shake them by the shoulders and say, forget all of that now. We've got to live in peace. You have to do things to unlearn that type of behavior.
So naturally we are racist and naturally we are sectarian. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that because people have not been exposed to other cultures. Yeah? People they've not been exposed to other cultures. So I'm not saying that people are naturally bigoted or naturally racist. I just said to you that I'm not naturally bigoted, but I was taught bigotry as I grew up in Northern Ireland. I was taught to hate Catholics. I was taught that Catholics look different from us. If you turn that on its head, it's the same thing as people telling other people, teaching other people racism. People who've got black skin, they're different from you, you know, or you know, whatever, those types of things. So it's not natural. That's not natural behavior. That's learned behavior.
It's very sad, isn't it? Because it's hard to argue with your commentary. It is difficult, considering what we've reported down the years and how we've listened to people, even people who would think they are salt of the earth, good, decent people, and who in many ways are good, decent people. But they don't want to know the ethnic minority groupings. They don't want their relatives to get married to a group that they're not part of. In many ways, they're afraid of what they don't know, I think would be a way of describing it.
Exactly, right. That doesn't give people license. You know, it's perfectly normal to be born with whatever color of skin that you're born in. It's not normal for people to hate you because of the color of your skin. So I've grown up with, you know, a whole host of people in my life, not knowing whether those people really love me, because one day they'll tell you that they love you, but I used to get confused thinking, how can you love me when you talk about people who've got black skin the same as me? You talk about those people as if they're less than human. I should be your lesson. I'm right in front of your face. You can see that I'm a person with black skin. You can see how I operate around you all the time. I'm normal, exactly the same, that, you know, the same way that you are. I, you know, care about things. I hurt the same way. This exactly the same as you, so that should have been, you know, that should be your lesson. But as I said, when people are taught the same way that I was taught sectarianism, I'm not naturally bigoted, as I said, the same way that I was taught that, I had to unlearn those things that people used to tell me. I had to unlearn how I feel about Catholic people. And thank goodness I did that.
should be an interesting read, Annie. I'm looking forward to having a proper look at the book. It's published by Cloister House Press, if I'm right. Am I right?
Yeah.
Annie Yellaway, Palma. Thank you very much for coming on, Annie. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Frank. Have a good day.
You too. And it's at Annie Yellaway Palma Books as well, if you want to find out more via Instagram. Good morning to you. 90-333-105-077-66-105-105.